Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed tonight. I'll go over a couple of lines that we did yesterday, and then we'll continue on. So the top line on Lamed Amalal 38, the top line. So Amalei Rabbi Rabbi Nathan Barami, Rabbi said to Rabbi Nathan Barami, Adiyadech Kal Savrei Debreich, when your hand is still in the neck of your son, means when you still have influence over your son. Page 59, Lamed Amalal says when you still have influence over your son, i.e. Mishitzar. From age 16 to age 22, Rami Lami Tmani Strevi Ades from Yarboa. Some say it means 18 to 24. So Rashi went over yesterday as two pshatim. Either it means take care of him getting a shidduch, or the other pshat, which Rashi likes better, is whatever musar you give this child, the son, that's the time to give it. And Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, a lot of people kind of feel like when the son or the child is college age, they're off ready to go off on their own. But you see Chazal teaching us that that's the most impressionable point in time. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people, like people who went to yeshivas, they go off to college and they go a whole different era. With the Gemara just said here, it says 16 to 22 or 18 to 24. And then the Gemara says on line four, Kitanai, like we learned in the Machloket Tanayim, he says, or Chanoch Lanar al pi darko, the pasuk initially says, like raise the child based on his derech. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Nechemya, Chadamar mishitzar v'yadashu mitartin. One says the key is 16 to 22, v'chadamar mitmanis v'yadashu v'yarba, from 18 to 24. Okay, now we're at the two dots on Lamed Amud Aleph. But hey, Chanochi Avadam lamed b'no Torah. So initially, when we understand that it, Adheichan means like what's the scope of how much we said a father is obligated to teach his son Torah. What's the scope of what he's obligated to do? So Amar Rav Yudamar Shmuel, Yon Zvulun Ben Dan, like this individual Zvulun Ben Dan, who was well known as Zvon Chazal, Shlim Do Avi Avi, if his grandfather taught him Mikra, Psukim, Umishna, Mishnah, Uba Talmud, and Gemara means like Svaras, Halacha, and Vagadot. It means the whole enchilada. In other words, what's the chiyuv? You have to teach him the whole enchilada. So Meitpei, on this we ask Kasha, that's the member of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. So Meitpei, with this we ask Kasha from the Brisa against Shmuel. Limdo Mikra, Eimelavdo Mishnah. If a father taught his son Mikra, and it sounded like Chumash, he doesn't have to teach him Mishnah. And here we just said, and Ba'amar Rabba, Mikra is Torah. And Rabba says Mikra means Torah. So how could it be that, how could Shmuel say the obligation is to teach him like the whole shebang, when here we have the Brice that says you just teach him Chumash, your Yotze. So the Gemara says no, Kizvulun Banan, lo Kizvulun Banan. The Gemara re, in other words, re-explains what the question is. On Heichan Chavadam Lamina B'no Torah just means like generationally, how much? In other words, beside how many generations am I obligated to teach? He says Kizvulun Banan, Shlim Do Avi Aviv. Like Zvulun Ben Dan, that his grandfather taught him. In other words, you're obligated to teach the son, and then you're obligated to teach the grandson. Don, but not like Zvulun Ben Dan in terms of scope of learning. The Ilu Hata Mikra Mishnah of the Talmud Halakhov HaGadot. Over there, he taught him the whole enchilada. He says, V'ilu Hacha Mikra Levad. But as far as the garden variety student, you just teach him Psukim and Chumash. Now, the Arts had a blurb. They quoted from the Chazon Ish. They wanted to say like two different obligations because the Gemara said, remember before, mode. So sometimes the father, if the son is really sharp, he's paying for the yeshiva education to go off. Remember with the son of Rav Acha. So the Chazon Ish, there were two obligations. One obligation is like the Torah part, the psukim, but then there's a further obligation, like to teach him. I don't know, like to get, you know, to what's the word he says? One second. One second. Give me 1 second. Yeah. He says, like, this is in footnote 10. He says there's an obligation to teach God his behavior, providing with the motivation and capacity to live his life in accordance with God's will. There's also another obligation. So he may have another obligation in terms of the education. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, let's go on. Now, the Gemara says, is the grandfather obligated to teach the grandson Torah? This is Vahatanya. We learn in the Braisa, this we say in Kriyat Shema, you should teach your sons. The Braisa says, not your grandson. What do I do with the Pasuk says you'll notify your son and grandsons? Lamar lacha shkol made but o Torah malav tov kilu limdo lov l'vnel v'benbeno atzov kodorot. So it means that it just means like if you're a chain in the tradition. So if you teach your son, you're like another link in the chain, and then it's like you taught all your future generations. That's it. So this b'risa says mufurash, so you're not obligated to teach the grandson, and yet we quoted the b'risa. So but Shmuel said that you are. So the Gemara says, Udamarki Aitana. Shmuel is going like this Tana. This Tana is going to say there is an obligation. Udamarki Aitana. The Tanya, we learned the b'risa. We matem on tambneichem. Inli abneichem bnei bneichem minayin. I don't know my sons. I don't know grandsons. I'm obligated. Tamalomor. Tamal bneichem bnei bneichem. That you should notify or inform your sons and grandsons. Imkein matamalomor bneichem. So then, what do I do with the pasuk says we matem on tambneichem if you have to even teach the grandsons? Bneichem below bneichem. Your sons and not the daughters. That's okay. So it sounds like machloket tonight. Now, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, who might have been b'no Torah, whoever teaches his grandson Torah, malav k'tov kilu kibla mi Har Sinai. The pasuk considers it as if he had received the Torah at Har Sinai. Shnevor v'tam l'nech b'nei v'necha v'samich la yom ashramat v'nei Hashem l'kecha v'choreif. In other words, you'll notify or inform your sons and grandsons and of the day that you sit before Hashem Chorev. So it means when you're teaching the son and the grandson, it's like you receive the Torah at Har Sinai and you're giving it over the Masorah. That's the way I would say. So Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Ashchid Reb Shuban Levi, Reb Chiya Bar Abba encountered Reb Shuban Levi, the Shadi Disna Reishe. Disna is like a sheet over his head. In other words, like he grabbed the sheet. If you look at Rashi, the Shadi Disna Reishe, Sadin, it's like a sheep, and it's not appropriate to wrap one's head in. Like it was like he was grabbing something. In other words, a sudar, he would only make a turban with a sudar. And here he's like gripping the sheet, and so he sees here the Rabba and Kanasur Shimon Levi. He's walking around like brushed out with like not dressed normally the way he would normally be. He was bringing, comes out as his grandson to the shul, that is Rabbi Shimon Levi was. So he's got like the grandson in tow, and he's like dressed with like the sheet over the head. So Amar Lei, my kuli hai. He says, what's this all about? How come you're rushing out without, you know, putting on the appropriate turban, the whole thing? What's this all zach? So Amar Lei, mizutar mai the thiv v'tham v'necha, v'samek l'yom asher mat l'pnei Hashem l'kev v'chorev. He says, like, I'm engaging in teaching my grandson, and the memory is like you receive the Torah at Har Sinai when you're teaching the grandson. So Mela, yeah, I'm rushing to like, you know, whatever it takes, you know, I'm rushing to do it. So from that point forward, Rabbi Abba, who had asked Rabbi Shimon Levi to explain his conduct, he wouldn't taste like they would eat a piece of meat in the morning. He wouldn't even eat like this piece of meat in the morning, like that they would have like a little piece of meat burnt on charcoals. He says, so he would review with, it sounds like with his grandchild, what he learned the day before, and then add on to learning. And Rabbi Huna also wouldn't eat like an umsa until he brought the child to the base match. So as long as it's just like not eating before davening, so if they didn't want to even eat before, you know, they took care of the kid. The kid is getting the education, that's the whole thing. Rabbi Liebowitz was saying, it sort of like gives a different twist to like carpool in the morning, you know, people with kids, you know, things like that. But if you view it like, you know, the whole piece. Okay. All right.
Are they saying what is better for you personally to teach your son and grandson or to have someone pay, you know, to teach?
Yeah, so if you have the knowledge to teach the grandson, that's, you know, A1, of course, you want to do that as much as possible. But otherwise, if you know, to take care of it also would be the equivalent. Yeah, clearly. All right, clearly. So again, we learned that the mitzvah Talmud Torah is just for boys, and the chiyuv. Yeah, right. No, you're asking two different questions. That was, wait. Grandson, whatever your grandson is, you have a mitzvah to teach the grandson. Right, and a grandson is, okay, now, let me read a little piece from the from the Al Hadam. Now he says here a father has a biblical obligation to teach his son Torah. The Rambam rules that a father who cannot personally teach his son is obligated to hire a teacher to teach his son. Okay, so if you can't teach him, you have to hire somebody. The Gross Moshe is from Moshe Feinstein, writes, accordingly, one may not use Maaser funds to pay the tuition fees for his children's Torah education. In other words, like a person is taking off Maaser for its tzedakah. So he figures, well, the tuition, I'm Yosef, I don't give tzedakah. Tuition was $1 million, which is it is. But in other words, I'm Yosef with the Maaser. So the Moshe holds no, because Maaser funds may be used only for non-compulsory charitable contributions, not to pay for obligatory mitzvah. Okay, then the Rambam, citing the Sifrei, writes, or the Sifri, writes that if one is a chacham, a person knowledgeable in Torah, he's obligated to teach the children of others in addition to his own children. Rambam explains, though, that if one cannot teach many children, teaching his own children takes precedence over teaching others, since the obligation to teach one's own children is spelled out explicitly in the Torah. Moreover, the Rambam says the obligation to hire a teacher means for one who cannot teach himself, applies only with regard to one's own children. One is not obligated to hire a teacher for the children of others. And he says, note, although one is not biblically required to hire a teacher for his friend's children, supporting Torah institutions is a charitable act of the highest order. And he quotes the Gemara of Baba Batra about the rabbinical enactment requiring all citizens to support the local cheder. Now, he quotes the Graz, it's the Alter Rebbe Lubavitch, notes another distinction between the responsibility to teach one's own. One's own children and the responsibility to teach others. He infers from the words of the Rambam, Mitzvah Chacham Yisrael Lomeid, and Kol Talmidim, that one is not obligated to teach students unless he is an accomplished scholar who is well versed in all areas of Torah knowledge. However, if one needs more time to further his own Torah knowledge, he's not obligated to spend time teaching students. With regard to one's own children, however, even one with limited Torah knowledge who needs more time to further his own Torah knowledge is obligated to sacrifice some of his time to teach his children Torah. All right, that's it with the Torah. This Gemara says that you're yotze the mitzvah by teaching the Pesukim and Chumash, but then we quote it from the Chazon Ish. He said there's like two chiyuvim. One is a mitzvah to teach Torah, and then he said there's another mitzvah, he said, to teach behavior. So he says with that obligation to teach proper behavior, see, the Gemara said earlier, remember, like if the son was very sharp, so he's going to send him to study. So obviously there's something more advanced going on. So there's a stira between the two sugyas. So let's go back. No, it means like let's say you have a son who's very sharp. So then I have to send him to yeshiva. So it's not talking about teaching chumash. Because it was the Gemara said earlier that where is it? He says Rabbi Yudomer in Beno Zarizum Amulach, but Talmudom can be a dub, but no code mo. So if the son is very sharp, the son has priority, and then the father sent him to learn, and the yeshiva wasn't teaching him to study Pesukim and Chumash. He was teaching him to do other things. So you see that at least in some instances, you have more of an obligation. So that's what the Chazon Ish was weighing in on and saying that there's an obligation. Where is it? Footnote 10. Yeah. He says to guide his son's behavior, provide him with the motivation, capacity to live in accordance with God's will. And everything depends on the father, the son, the whole thing. He says, So he says, it is inconceivable a father could properly guide his son without providing him with an education to Torah knowledge that extends beyond basic texts of scripture. This being the case, we may now understand the earlier Bryce's ruling that for a gifted child, the father should put his son's study of Mishnah and Talmud ahead of his own. The essential promise of this ruling is that although the father may have fulfilled his initial obligation to teach his son, Chumash, he remains bound by a second obligation to facilitate the son's advancement in other areas of study as well. So it sounds like two different obligations. What's up? Yeah, so there's different, different partial approach it differently. The way Rav Shamshon Frel Hirsch says that he gave the same education for both and it didn't work because they were different. But then I've also this different shot to say that Yitzchak knew where Esau was coming from and was trying to like sort of pull him in a different shot. In other words, that he knew that Esau was like a different malach, but it, like, you got to like grab whatever you can and try to, you know, pull along wherever it seems like things are going well, you know. All right, so I'm going to go further. All right, let's see. Oh, I'm sorry, Aaron Moshe, you want to say something?
No, I'm going to say it's the best thing at night at 9 o'clock after Daf Yomi. I get a call. I have two grandsons, and they say hello, Zaidi, and we start to learn at night. It's the best thing. It's not an obligation. It's the best thing I have every day.
Okay, all right. That's what you're talking about, David's children, right?
No, I'm talking about
Rachel. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right. Now, okay. So we're at the last narrow line. So Amar Rav Safra Mishum Rav Shuben Chananya. Rav Safra says Mishum means he has a Besorah from Rav Shuben Chananya. Rabbi Chananya is the famous Tanya Rabbi Shua that Rabbi Yeshua was Rashas. Says, "My dechi b'shinan tamal v'necha." What does it mean, b'shinan tamal v'necha? You teach your sons. Al tekri b'shinan tamal v'shilash tam. So the way Rashi takes it, let's look at Rashi, where he says, "El b'shilash tam lokti b'shani tem shiash l'shem." So in other words, it could say b'ushni tem. In other words, one note. In other words, the word like to be shona, which means it means to study, but it also means like to repeat, like to be shown it. So it could say with one nun, but it has an additional nun. So Chazal is saying like there's like doing things three times. El b'shilash tam, meaning li'olam, the second meaning of our line. Yishalish tam shotav. First thing should divide his time into three parts. Shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. One third devoted to sukim, one third to mishnah, and one third to talmud. Talmud means the Talmud didn't exist as Manachazal the way we have it, but it means like Svaros and going back and forth. So the Gemara says, Miyadei Kamachai. So how does a person know how long he's going to live, you know, to divide up his time, you know, like if you would know, so he'll do 10 years of the Sukkim, 10 years Mishnah, 10 years Talmud, and then if he would know, but he doesn't know how he wants to live. Lo, it's three chum yomi. So the Gemara says, no, it needs to put days. Let's see Tosfos. So the second Tosfos, lo, three chum yomi, everybody have a place. So I'm not going to do the Rashi. Tosfos quotes Rashi. Here's what contrasts Yimei Shabbat. Rashi says it refers to days of the week. Klomar, Shnei Yomi Mikra. In other words, Sunday and Monday, you'll study the, you know, Chumash and Navi and Ketubim. With Shnei Yomi Mishnah, then Tuesday, Wednesday, you'll do Mishnayot. And then with Shnei Yomi Gemara. And then Thursday and Friday, you'll do Gemara. And then the way Rav Libos was saying Shabbos, you'll chazer it all, or something like that. Says Baloney here. Tosfos says, I don't like that Pshad. He says, how does he know how long he's going to live? So maybe he'll die in the middle of the week, and it won't be divided three times, three ways. But I don't like, I think Relibus was asking on that, you know, like there's a limit to how much, you know, you can go with these things. But Tosfos says, when you're in the Faresh, that every day, like whatever time, let's say a person has 3 hours to learn, he should divide the time into three groups. In other words, you'll spend one hour doing, you know, Chumash and Navi and Ketuvim, and 1 hour doing Mishnah, 1 hour doing Gemara. Alkein tikein b'seder Rav Amram Gaon. So Rav Amram Gaon, you know, wrote a siddur. So that's what he was referring to, the siddur of Rav Amram Gaon. K'mosha anano gibuchol yom, kon p'suki d'zimra, omar mikro mishnah gemara. So therefore, Rav Amram Gaon is mitakein in his siddur that every day before p'suki d'zimra, you'll say Psukim and Chumash, which we have. And then you'll have Mishnayot. We have Mishnayot, Ezim, and Koman. And you have Gemara. You have the Parsha of Rabbi Yishmael. In other words, you can say like the minimum level of learning. Now, Rabbeinu Tam Pirei,
but then your learning is the same every day.
Let's wait 2 minutes, okay? Rabbeinu Tam Piresh, Shemos Somchein Ahad Yemin B'Sanhedrin. When Tam explains that we rely on what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. In other words, we don't do one third, one third, one third. So we rely on the Gemara of Sanhedrin that Babel, Belula, Mikra, Mishnah, the Gemara. In other words, that the Talmud Babli is like connected to the word Balul. It's like mixed. It's mixed. It has everything in it. So you learn Daf Gemara, you have Pesukim, you have Mishnah, you have Gemara. He says, the Gemara at Babel, Balul, Mikulam. Rabbeinu Tam says, like, in other words, the yeshivas in Europe, they would focus on the Gemara, but that's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying, that the Gemara has everything in it. Okay, now, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts, Fern?
If you say that you're being yotze by doing the learning from your davening, which I always thought it was after Lasok B'Divrei Torah, your yotze, you know, it's not a bracha levatala if you don't get to anything else that day.
Well, you have the Lasok B'Divrei Torah, you do have Sukkim there, and you do have the Mishnah, but then he's saying that there is more, you have even more.
Tana Devei Rav Yishmael.
Well, that you have, and then you have the Mishnayot, and then of Ezu Mekoman, and then you have, you know, a lot of psukim either from the Korbanot or the Akeda. But what do you want to say?
That if that's your learning, then you're learning the same thing every day. You don't really progress so much.
Yeah, it means obviously a person should learn more, but it means like everybody's got like at least the, if they daven in the morning, they'll get the minimum. And it was the minimum to be able to say they're chayiv. That's what it means. Okay, everybody good? Okay, let's keep further in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says on the third white line, now the way Rashi takes it, this is like a new paragraph. Rashi says, 10 lines from the bottom, milta ba'api nafshahi. Yeah, but it says lefichach nikru. It sounds like lefichach. It sounds like one thing is connected to the other. So the way the Meiri, I saw the Meiri quoted in the Besifta that we just mentioned about the importance of studying Torah, and now they're segueing into detailing like certain details that a person should learn. But either way, the Gemara says lefichach nikru rishonim sofrim. But the earlier scholars are called sofrim. And Rashi brings here, Rashi quotes the pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Mishpachot Sofrim Yoshaya Beitz. Like in Divrei Yamim, it refers to Mishpachot Sofrim. They call Sofrim. What Yoshaya Beitz? Well, here from the pasuk, simple shot means it's a place Yabeitz. But I think there's a whole thing that people have, whether they with the bumper stickers about jabbies or something like that. But anyway, but Yoshaya Beitz. One second. So he said, well, one second. Everybody wait 5 minutes, and then I'll pause. Okay. They would count all the letters in the Torah. They would say, Vav Degachon Chesen Shol Tiochel Sefer Torah. There's a pasuk in I think it's in Shmini, it says, Kol Leichal Gachon, that the Vav Gachon is the middle of all the letters in the Torah. Darosh Darash Chesen Shol Tevot. The words Darosh Darash are the middle of the words in the Sefer Torah. And this is safer, remember with the Korbano, Darosh Darash Moshe Bini Saraf, but that's where Ramosha has the name safer, the Darash Moshe, that's where, okay. This is Behit Galach Shel Psukim. And then the word Behit Galach, the Pasuk that has Behit Galach, I think that's by the Mitzora, that's half of the Psukim. Yechar Semenachaz Yirmiyahar, Ayin Diyarach Essential Telem. The Ayin of Yar is the middle of the letters in Sefer Tehillim. Uruchem Yechaparavon, Chetzio de Psukim. By Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, remember he was blind, he asked the following Kasha, Bab Gachon, Mehai Giso, Mehai Giso. So he said that Bab Gachon is the middle of the letters in the Torah. So is it on, in other words, assuming there's an even number of letters, so is the Bab Gachon in the first half, or is it on the second half? So Amrlei, So they said to Rabbi Yosef, simple solution, Neiti Sefer Torah, Ve'emninu. Why don't we bring a Sefer Torah and count out the letters? We'll figure out an answer. So Mila Omar Rabbi Bar Baruch Hanna, didn't Rabbi Baruch Hanna say, and this was in reference to another incident, Lo Zazu Mishamat should be a Sefer Torah Menom. They didn't leave that place. They brought a Sefer Torah and counted it up. So Amar Lahu, so Rabbi Yosef said to the people of the Beis Medrash, Inu Bekiba Chaser B'Yiterot. They were baki in chaser v'iteru. So, there are a lot of words that can be so malay or chaser. Like the word olam, I spelled ayin vav lamed mem as malay, or I spelled ayin lamed mem as chaser. So, they were baki on which words are malay, which were chaser. He says, ana lo beginin, we're not baki. So, we may not get the answer right. In other words, the whole thing. Now, with this thing about baki, I'll tell you one thing. This is the Torah Tamima says. He said, like, let's say you have a Sefer Torah and you're laning and you see there's like an extra letter. So you're not mechuyev to You know, the Sefer Torah is not pasul because we say we're not backing in Chaser B'Teirot. But the Torah to me wants to say sometimes Chazal have a drasha from a word. Like, I'll give you an example. Like it says in Lo Yagid Ben Asavono, and Lo is spelled Lamed Baba Aleph, and there's a whole drasha from that Lo. And so he says that if there's a drasha from Chazal that's based on a certain spelling and you don't have that letter, then the Sefer Torah is pasul. It is pasul then. So that's one thing. Then Rav Leibowitz was saying today, and I think he was quoting from Minchas Chinuch, that when it comes to, let's say, the parshiyot of Tefillin and Mezuzah, which is one of the parshiyot of Tefillin, so there, if you mess up a Mali or Chaser, it is pasul. There, in that area, we do maintain that we do are baki on Chaser B'Teirot. There, in that section, we would be baki on it. Okay, now, by six lines from the bottom, then I'll pause in just a few lines. By Rav Yosef, Mehit Galach Mehai Gisa Mehai Gisa. So he said that Behit Galach, the Pasuk, Behit Galach, Behit Galach, is the halfway of the Psukim. So which side is that on? So Amalei Abaye, and Abaye was a Talmud Rabbi Yosef, Psukim Miu, Leitu Leninu. So at least Psukim we can count up. You know, maybe we're not Baki and Chaser B'Teirot, but we should be able to count up number of Psukim and figure out which way that goes. So Rabbi Yosef says, Psukim Amalei Abaye. No, even in Psukim we're not so Baki. How so? The Chiyata Rav Acha Bar Ada, when Rav Acha Bar Ada came from Eretz Israel, Amar, the Ma'arava, Haskele Lahaikra, Lathlat Psuke. He says, in the West, in Eretz Israel, they divide the following Pasuk into three Psukim. In other words, we do it one Pasuk. But in Eretz Israel, they divide it into three Psukim. And then it says, Babur Yishmaham Dabri Ma'ah Vigamakai Amin Lilam. So it's a long Pasuk. They divide into three. So even that we don't know. All right. Now, let me just do 10 more lines. I'll get to the two dots, and then we'll see where we go. One second. All right, let me just do one Tosfos. Nikru Sofrim. So the second to last Tosfos. So Nikru Sofrim. Here's for Kunchitsky, the theme is before Sofrim Yoshe Yabetz. With Yushami Mefaresh, the Sukkot Torah Kulam is Parot. So Yerushalmi explains, so our Gemara says it's called Sofrim because it counts up the number of letters in the Torah, right? Shulchan Kol Tiyach Torah. But the Yerushalmi explains that they had numbers for all areas in Torah Shabbal Peh. You don't have Vot Malachot Arba Im Chaser Achad. Like, you know, there's 40 minus 1 number. So in other words, from see, Rashi connects the Sofrim to the Pasuk of the Reyamim. Tosfos says Sofrim, it means really earlier, like maybe Tanaim or whatever, the people who formulated the Torah, the Mishnayot. He says, and he says, the Arba Avot Nezikin, but it's say by him. All right, let's go further in the Gemara and then we'll pause. So he says here, a few lines from the bottom. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Chamesh Shel Alfim Ushmon Miyot Ushmon Ushmon Apsukim Ha Apsukim Sefer Torah. So the Bryce says 5,888 psukim are the number of psukim in a Sefer Torah. But if you look in the blurb on the side, it's from Rabbi Shai Pink Berlin. It says, Kfi cheshbon anim sar b'chol chamushama le psukia Torah v'misholfim. And then it comes out, shmona miyad ara ba'im b'chamisha. In other words, so the Gemara says 5,888, but according to our Chumash, it's 5,845. So it's off. And the IMB output, Parshat Ekev, Remez, Tatav Nunhei, who Zayt Ranan, Gores Chamish Alfim, Taf Taf Mbe. So Zayt Ranan is safer, it says 5,842. But anyway, not 5,888. But we said already the Psukim could be divided maybe different ways. So says, so again, so Tanaraban and Chamish Alfim, Mishmona, Yehoba, Mishmona, Mishmona, Psukim, Psukim, Sivit Torah. Yetzer Lav Tehillim Shmona. Sefer Tehillim has eight more psukim than a Sefer Torah, than a Torah. Chasir Menu Derei Yamim Shmona. Derei Yamim has eight psukim less. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, Rishinan Tam, Tru Derei Tam Lechudim B'Ficha. What? Say again what? Yeah, I think I saw somebody was asking about that. Why did you say it's obviously not correct? You mean 150 prakim? All right. I think I saw a blurb in the SIFT that was mentioning that, but all right. Anyway, so he says, Tanrabanan, Mishinatam, Shu Divrei Torah, Makudanim Beficha. The words Torah should be like sharp in your mouth. Somebody asks you a question, don't like stammer or blah, 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 blah. Give me the answer. That's the way it should be. Ella and more Lomiyadi, and say right away, Shinemar, turn the page, top line on Laman of Abayz, and more Lachachma Chotiyad Begomer. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. So let's look at Rashi, the top line of Rashi. And what? Yeah, the top line of Rashi, it's Pasuk and Mishlei. Means that you should be, you know, conversant with Torah like so much, like your sister is prohibited to you. It's like davar pashut. Or in the alternative, Rashi says the raya. Like a lot of times, the Gemara quotes pasuk, but it's really the end of the pasuk in Eve. They don't quote the end of the pasuk. So inami, or in the alternative, Rashi says it's based on the end of the pasuk. Like your being a wisdom, you'll call Moda is like your knowledgeable friend. In other words, like you know him, you know Bina, like he's your Moda, he's the one you know. Like so that's the okay. Back in the Gemara, but Omer Kashrim Asfotecha Kaveim Aluach Libecha, tie them to your fingers, write it on the luach of your heart. That's the idea. Then the Gemara quotes a lot of pesukim on this. Omer Kechitzim Biyad Gibur Kain Bnei Anurim, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. That's Bnei Anurim, like the Talmidim, are your like arrows, your warriors. The arrows of the warrior are sharp. Your arrows are sharp, so nations will fall before you. Fortunate is the man who fills his quiver with those arrows. Like they won't be embarrassed when enemies speak in the gate. Meaning, even a father and son, a Rebbe and his Talmud, who are osing in Torah b'sharachad, means in one base medrash, they become like enemies, like adversaries, maybe learning pshat. I think the pshat is this, you think the pshat is that. They don't leave that location until they become like beloved to one another. So he says, Al-Kaini Amar b'sefer milchamot Hashem. So, Sefer Melchamot Hashem, like in other words, the people who are learning Torah, they're like in a state of Melchama. And then, so, et vahe b'sufa, so the simple shot in the Pasuk means like Hashem did miracles for us at Yamsuf. Vahe is connected, he said the word Yahiv to give, but the drasha is et vahe b'sufa, al tikre b'sufa, el b'sofa. Vahe that there's ava at the end. So it means like this, that when the person is studying, so the Talmidim are his arrows. In other words, he's studying, he's a Rebbe, he's learning with the Talmidim. The Talmidim are his sharp arrows. Then they go to the base medrash, and you know, and then and other people, they're able to like do warfare. It means like scholarly warfare, and that's it. You know, Rabbi Leibowitz today was mentioning, and I'd heard someone else mention this many years ago, that, and he was quoting from Rav Schechter, that there was an account by a non-Jew of the Mir Yeshiva. The way I had heard it was, like many years ago, that they was on the Trans-Siberian Railroad, but this person was like describing the Mir Yeshiva on this railroad and saying how they would take out these large books and then be engaged like these like sort of like vociferous arguments with each other. Like he didn't know if it's like what's going to happen, and then they put away the books and everybody's pals with everybody, and that's the way Torah is, ideally speaking. That you know the that it creates shalom. Okay, now time for questions, comments, thoughts. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts? See, Fern is poised. Go ahead, Fern.
Thank you. That section before on which oat is the center of the Torah, which pasuk, which how many? Why is this important?
Well, I mean, you know, if you have a Torah that. If the Torah has extra letters in it, it's pasul. That's why it's important. And why is it? I mean, why is it middle? Why that things like that? I don't know. I don't know why it's significant when one is in the middle or not, unless it's to the guidepost. But otherwise, I don't know. Somebody's got noise. Is it noise at your end? I hear noise. Is
that yeah. You? Sorry, I'm gonna close.
All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? When the, no, to do the Ritzon Hashem. To do the Ritzon Hashem. Okay? You know, I want to do what Hashem wants in the Ritzon Hashem. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Now, around Lamed Amud Beis, let me see if I have anything here. Yeah, let's look at the last Tosfos on Lamed Amud Aleph. Okay, everybody with me? So last Tosfos on Lamed Amud Aleph. So I'm giving it to Marlo. Like, don't stammer. When somebody asks you the question, give the answer right away. You have it. He says, "V'hada Amar Be'elam Tziot Tzur Rabbanu Mishana B'Tiburei B'Masechta." So the Gemara in the Mitzio says, "Tzur Rabbanu Mishana B'Tiburei." I think Bush Pisa, and what else? And the B'Masechta U'B'Puria. B'Puria Bush Pisa B'Masechta. B'Puria is like the bed, like if you know, he doesn't have to say the truth, whether you know about relations or something like that. And then Bush Pisa, or another pshat is. That and then another pshat is like if he didn't show up or anyway, and then another is pushpiza if somebody's a good host he doesn't have to answer, but then masechta and those Talmud Chacham if he studied a lot of masechta he doesn't have to honestly respond that he studied those masechta. He says Omer Rabbeinu Tam. So how is it? So here we're saying somebody asks you a question, you give them the answer right away. Yet over there the Gemara says like you can be somewhat deceptive if you're a Talmud Chacham say, I don't know the answer. I didn't study this Masechta. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam, somebody asks you, did you study the second Mikvah? He's backing a Mikvah, but he doesn't want to be like a Baal Gaiva, so he says, I didn't study it. In other words, if he would say, I learned that, it's like, oh, you learned that, you learned a lot. But if they're asking him, is this mikvah kosher? Is this that the other? Or should we need to teach us? And you know, we're asking you because we want you to teach us something in this masechta. Do you study whatever? So then he's got to give the answer right away. He can't. Right. He says, it's not similar to what it learns in masechta derech eretz, is one of the masechta ketanot. So it says you should accustom your tongue to say, I don't know. Because maybe you'll say the wrong thing, and then people say, oh, you said the wrong thing. That's talking about like things in general. He says, not Torah, but people be totally more of the even the Torah should say, I know, ha ha ha, like arrogantly, you'll know the Talmidim, but you know, you should teach and go and teach Talmidim. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. It says Surma Rabana Mashana Bidibure, the Puriya Bushpiza Masechta Bapuriya Bushpiza. Masechta is learning. Puriya, there's different shot than what Puriya means. It could mean that, you know, to be like relations with his wife or like the yeshiva. Anyway, but Puriya is the bed. And then Ushpiza is a host. So I think somebody says, you know, was X a good host? You don't have to say that because that's like a lot. Right, right. Okay. But there's different, you should look up the Gemara, there's different, you know. So we had in Tosfos, Bab Mitzvah Daf Chav Gimel. Okay. So now let's look back in the Gemara. So we're on Lamed Amud Beis. Okay, I got to run now and I can't break the question. So I guess you're okay. So sorry. Okay, 10 lines from the top. Tan Rabbanan, the Samtem says you should put these words on your hearts. Samtam means like a complete perfect potion. Samtam is a perfect potion. Nimshla Torah k'sam chayim. The Torah is compared to a potion of life. Mashal idam shikha ben omakah gdola. It's like a person strikes his son a tremendous wound. V'nichol riti amakato. And he leaves a compress on the wound. V'amarlo, and the father says to the son, B'ni, kozman shriti azu amakaka. As long as this compress, this bandage with medicines is on the wound, eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want, bathe in hot water, cold water, and nothing to worry about. But if you remove the compress, then you're going to get boils, everything's going to go downhill. Banai brought the Yitzhara, brought the Lo Torah Tavlin. Shema says, I created the Yitzhara, and I created the antidote to the Yitzhara is the Torah. He says, "V'matem oskim b'Torah and atem nimsar b'yado." So if you toil in Torah, then the Yitzhar is out the door. Shneimar halom teitiv se'ed. Teitiv here means if you'll study Torah, se'ed, you'll prevail. V'matem oskim b'Torah, but if you're not going to toil in Torah, atem nimsar b'yado, then you're in the hands of the Yitzhar. Shneimar lapeta chatat robeis. At the entranceway, chatat is crouched. The Yavir is crouching. Lo'od. Not only that, the Yetzahara, his whole business is with you. In other words, you is his desire, the Yetzahara. But if you want, you could dominate him. The thing was, he said that, you see, the Gemara teaches us that the cure for the Yetzahara is learning Torah. So it's like a person has an illness, you know, and you know, you're doing other things, but if you don't take the cure, so, you know, the illness is not going to be in good shape. So, and then the Chafetz Chaim says that the Yetzer Hara will even let you do other mitzvot as long as you don't study Torah. So let's say you want to go study Torah. You'll say, there's a Shiva to visit. There's this to do, that to do. And then there are mitzvahs. But like his fallback plan is he'll give you mitzvah B and C. Anything, so you shouldn't study Torah. Because if you study Torah, he knows he's finished. He's down the tubes. Okay, so back in the Gemara. So line, fifth medium wide line. Tanrabanan, Kashi Yitzahara, the Yitzhar is terrible. Shafil Yotro Kro Ra, even its creator, Hashem, calls him Ra, evil. Shinemar Ki Yitzhar Le Badam Ra Minu Rav. That the inclination of the Yitzhar is Ra Minu Rav when he's a youngster. Amrav Yitzchak Yitzhar Shalom is Kadesh La Bechol Yom. The Yitzhara renews itself each day. So the Yitzhara you're facing today is not the same Yitzhara you had yesterday, the day before, the week before. Shinemar Rak Ra, Kol Yom, Rak Ra, Kol Hayom. Kol Yom, the way the Gemara takes it is each day it's the Yitzhara. But Amar Shimon Levi, Yisro Shalom Mekaber La B'chol Yom, Vakesh Amido. Shimon Levi says that a prayer, or Shimon Lakish, he's got on the side, he says the Yitzhara like renews in strength every day and tries to kill the person. Shinemar Tzofer Rashal Tzadik Vakesh Lamito. You know, like the Gemara says, Hainu Malach HaMavet, Hainu Yitzhara, Hainu Satan. Satan, the Malach HaMavet, and the Yitzhara are the same. They're all like trying to destroy you. If Hashem wouldn't help you, you wouldn't be able to manage with him. Hashem will leave you in the Yitzhara. If this Menuval, this detestable person, has like, you know, like you've encountered him. So what do? I have this Yitzhara. It's for Tom and Lemi. I don't know what to do. So break yourself up. Go to the base medrash. Open a sefer. Once you open the sefer, if he's a stone, the Yitzhara, it will dissolve. In Barzel, whom it potates. If it's iron, it'll be shattered. Shenemar, lo kodri ka'ishna mashem ka'pethesh yufotzei selah. This is going the last thing. It's like the hammer that like breaks a rock. So that's the way like the Yitzhara will be broken if he's Barzel. Im Evan hu nimoach, if it's Evan, it'll dissolve. So Shenemar hoy kut samilu kulamayim. Let every thirsty person go to water. Water is a metaphor for Torah. Yomer avanim shachal kumayim. That the stones, like the water, cuts a path through even the hard stone. So the Torah is water. So you got the Evan. So the water. And Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned about, you know, the Avot Rabbi Natan. This is about Rabbi Akiva. He's wondering whether he can learn. And then he sees the water dripping on the rock. He sees it made a dent in the rock. He said, if the water can make a dent in the rock, achas kamkal, water can make, you know, it can impact on me. Okay. I have 30 seconds for questions. So with the Yitzhara, yeah. So I don't know what to say. The Torah is good. Yeah. Well, not. You have to say. It sounds like they weren't learned. It sounds like Gufa the Torah they weren't learning wasn't so correct. No. In other words, like remember, like they didn't want to share the Torah with it's different than his favorite what they had. They didn't want to share the Torah they had with other people. So Gufa, the way they were learning Torah seems like it was, defective. Okay, I got to move on. Okay, 8 lines above it gets wide. Now we said, Lahasiyah, we show that a man is obligated to marry off his son, he quotes Pasuk in Yirmiyah, I believe. 1 second. Yeah, in Yirmiyah. Kuchun Hashem v'olidu banim. Take women and have children, ubanot, ukuchul of nechem nashim, and take women, you know, will marry off your sons, yet benot techem to nashim, and give your daughters off to men. So the Gemara says, somebody asked me this the other day, and I said, right, you asked, yeah, you did. So here's the answer. Long enough, everything, you get Dafyomi. Mishlema b'no b'yado. So who's b'no? In other words, the son is the proactive partner. He's going out seeking the wife. So b'no, you push him, you do him, then he gets the son, the wife. Elobito b'yado he. But the daughter is like, you got to wait for the suitor to come to her. So hachi kamar lahu. This is what he was saying to them. Itela midi. In other words, give them the daughter some money, and then dress them nicely. So men will want them, and then they'll go for them. I don't know what that says about the clothes being doing, but that's what the Gemara says. Now, he said that a father is obligated to teach his son a trade or a craft. So he says, Manalan, where we know from. So chayim is the trade or craft, like a livelihood, with the woman that you love. So in this pasuk in Kohelet, which we're going to lay in another 2 weeks, in Chutz La'aretz we'll lay in 3 weeks, but in Eretz Yisrael in 2 weeks, because I think in Eretz Yisrael they lay it on the first day of Yom Tov, and here in Chutz La'aretz we lay it on Shmini Atzeret. But if you could, I wish I could remember all these brushes when I hear the pasukim. It says, "See life with the woman that you love." So if it means the woman herself. So it's setting up a hekesh, just like he's obligated to marry her off. He's married to us, teach him like a livelihood, Roman Ut. Im Torahim, if the woman is referring to Torah, he says, Kshem Shechayav Lam Vod Torah, just like he's obligated to teach him Torah, Kachayav Lam Vod Uman Ut. Yeshu Mimaf Lashitobanar, some say he's even obligated to teach his son to swim in the river. My time, a why? Chiyutahin, that could be his life, you know, his life could depend on his ability to swim if the boat sinks. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Shein Olam Umanot Malam Do Listen. Rabbi Yehuda, this is in the Brisa that we had just yesterday's talk, but it feels like so long. He says that if you don't teach him an umnot, you're teaching him to be abandoned. Listen to talk tonight. What is he teaching him to be abandoned? El Kilo Malam Do Listen. As if he taught him banditry because he has a livelihood, he's going to be engaged in like illegal activity. So my Benayu. Now both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda hold that the father has to teach his son a trade or a craft. So what's the nafkamina between the two of them? So the nafkamina would be if he teaches them just to like business. So according to Tanakhama, that's adequate. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, like at least one shot is like the business, like he could invest in the wrong things and lose the money. But if he teaches them a trade or a craft, like he teaches them to be a jeweler to fix watches, or he teaches them to be a carpenter, or he teaches them, you know, like a trade, then he's in good shape. He'll be able to make money. He said, in other words, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, that wouldn't be enough. Okay, now, Kol Mitzvah Ahav Alabein B'chulei, so the Mishnah said, this is the Mishnah we did yesterday, all the mitzvahs of the father on the son. So again, it's not clear, does it mean the father doing for the son and the son doing for the father? So my Kol Mitzvah Ahav Alabein, Ilei Mechus said to Mechayev Ahav Alabein B'Brei, if it means all the mitzvahs that a parent must do for the child, Nashim Chayevo, women are Chayev, that's what the Mishnah said. We've had this yesterday. The father's obligated to give a bris milah and to do pinyon aviv. Avivin ma'imonlo, not the mother. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Hachi kamar." This is what the Mishnah means. All the obligations the son has to do for the father. In other words, men and women are both chayiv in kibra ba'im and yira from the parents. So Tanina Lahatan Rabbanan. We learned the Mishnah that which the Chachamim teach is also in a Brisa, and now we're going to have the Brisa. Ish. So it says Ishimo v'Aviv Tirau. A man you should fear, you know, his mother and his father. So Ish Ein Lo Ish Isha Minayim. So how do we know the woman is also included with that? Shulmer Tirau Arekan Shnayim. So the beginning of the pasuk is Ish, and the end of the pasuk is Tirau. You should. Plural, so the ish is included. It came out to number ish. So why did it say ish? Because it's Rao. Why did it say ish? So ish sipek piadola sod. The man typically is in a position to take care of the parents. In other words, he's like on his own. He does what he wants. Ish and sipek piadola sod. Make sure she doesn't tear him out. The woman is married. She has obligations in the home. She's not as free to take care of things as the husband. So I'm Rav Yehuda Baravin. I'm a Rav. Yigar shishtem shavin. If the woman is divorced, then the woman and the man are the same. Then we have two siblings, and one is divorced. Yeah, they're both free to do what they need to do. So Tana Rabbanan, Nehemar, Kabed Rabbi Chabed Nacha. One pasuk says, honor your father and mother. V'nehemar, a different pasuk says, Kabed Hashem Mehonecha. The pasuk of Mishnah, honor Hashem from your property. So it's using the word kabed in both instances. The Torah has made an equivalence between the honoring parents and honoring a Kaddish Baruch Hu. This meaning that he says, we'll see in just a minute. Nemar Ishimo Tirao, it says like you should fear your parents. The Nemar and Hashem Alkecha Tirao Abiyoto Tavod, it says you should also fear a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Ishvachtuv Morad Avaim, the Morad Makom, there's also an equivalence between. And it was the same turn of phrase, the same verb and turn of phrase that the Torah uses by parents, uses by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then Nemar Makala Vivi Momo Imad says if you curse your parents, so you get the death penalty. Even Nemar Ishki Kalil Lakab and Asakato, Ishrakto Birka Abaim, the Birka Makom, also by Klala, is the Ababa Kab Ada Yev Shar Hakan. In other words, it doesn't say by Makia Vivi Momo is Mog Imad, but it does say by Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein Bedin. So that makes sense. Sheshlashtan shutafinbo, because each man, each person has three shutfim involved in his creation, his parents and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it makes sense that you have, like, on one level, similar obligations to all three. So he says here, Tan Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, Shoshah shutfim hin ba'adam, and every person has three partners in his birth, his creation, a Kadosh Baruch Hu be'abibi imo. Now Rashi goes over. Let's look at Rashi. It's a Bryce in the second need, the last Rashi. So Shashutfim Hain. The Parish of Bryce from second need, Ishma's real Loven Shabo, Ishma's real Odin Shabo, Shrakun of Beho, Nishama, Mariayan, Shmir Ozin, and Dibor. So the Gemara, it sounds like the man is putting the semen in, but it sounds like the Gemara identifies the semen with like the white things, like the bones and things like that. And the woman is, you know, he's got the red things in him, but a Kaddish Baruch Hu puts in the neshama, his sight, his hearing, his dibur. Anyway, so let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, three lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan Shoshutim Hin Ba'adam, Kaddish Baruch Hu Bimo. Bizman Shnama Chabin and Aviv Bimo. If a person honors his parents, Amar Kaddish Baruch Hu Manali Lehem Kilu Darti Benihem Kibduni. I consider as if I lived amongst them and they honored me. So it was like I'm involved in this whole enterprise. And I don't know, the article they quoted the Marsha, like the Marsha connects to the Gorm Set Sota, which we had, says like Ish for Isha. And there was Ish for Isha, they both have an Aleph Shin, the Ish and Isha. But the Ish has got a Yud in his name, and the woman has a Hey in Isha. So there's Shema Hashem. So it's like when everybody they get along, and their Shema Hashem is there. So the Marsha wants to take it and say, like, if everybody's doing, like, be mechabi the parents, it's like the Shekhinah is there in the house. It's like creating like a mishkan there. He says on the bottom line, Tani Rebbe Omer, Yalui v'yadu l'fnei mishamar v'aya ha'olam, sheben mechabi d'imo yitzer me'aviv. That it's known to the one who said, and the world came into being, that in the natural order of things, a son honors the mother more than the father. In other words, natural order, typically the son honors the mother more than the father. But they, Shemeshalat Tobit Barim, because she says like nice words, she seduces him with the words, whatever. You know, I tell you, Michael says like the mother is the greatest ally, greatest friend, or something like that. He's got a phrase like that. He says, L'ficha, Ekima Kashbarku, Kibud Av, L'Kibud Ain. So therefore, when it comes to Kibud, now we're talking about Kibud and Yira. Yira is like the things you don't sit in his place, you know, you don't do. And kibud is more of the things you do, generally speaking. In other words, like you don't sit in his makom, you don't contradict him, that's yira. And then kibud, like you feed him, things like that. So therefore, so Hashem, when he admonishes us, he puts the father before the mother, because he knows that in the normal thing, you'd be like the proclivity to honor the mother, so put the father first. And it's known before the one who said, and the world came into being, that typically the son fears the father more than the mother. Because the father teaches him Torah. And so I was thinking, Torah Torah can mean he's teaching them, you know, how to behave. I got the Torah, you know, this is the Torah in the household, this is the way it's going here. He says, the Mora'im, the Mora'av. So therefore, when Hashem admonishes the person, he admonishes him here for the mother, for the father. Okay. Well, it mentions here the boy. I'm not sure if the girl would be different or not. I'm not sure. Okay, now.
Can I ask questions?
Yeah, okay, 1 minute for questions, then I got to go. Yeah, what's up?
Number one, why does it say Nitgarsha and not if she became a widow that Shneihem Shavin? Number one. And number two, can you elaborate on when there's a tension for the woman between Kiburav and her husband, how that really has to go?
Yeah, so in Akinami, I mean, in terms of why it doesn't say Almana, I don't know. The only thing I could think of is, I don't know why it doesn't say Almana. But in terms of the kibud, oh, he doesn't spell it out here, but there are obligations that a woman has towards the husband. He says, and I don't know what more to say about that, but if, in Shulchan Aruch, though, it goes through it, but I don't know what more to say. I'm sorry.
Like if okay. There's a better piece of meat, does she give it to the husband or the father?
You get, again, when you're talking about food, in other words, like the...
I'm just using it as a silly example.
In other words, the income from the household is going to the household. And then there's a question whether you're obligated to, I think, even spend money for the parents' food. But I mean, here they're talking about like time, you know, like first and foremost, like the wife should clear things with the husband. Okay, I'm sorry, I don't have more to say. But let me end the recording. One second. Let me get this. One second. Oh, looking for it. Oh, here we go.